This is a Dragon Blazer production, and I am the Little Boogeyman. All right.
Coming down the aisle, it's the podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And today we're going to be going back to 1994 and watching WWF Royal Rumble.
I'm excited because the last Royal Rumble we watched, I actually knew Yokozuna was the winner. This one, I have no idea who wins this Royal Rumble, so this should be fun.
Yeah, believe it or not, I actually can't remember who wins it either. So I can't remember what the main event of WrestleMania 10 for the WWF World title is. Maybe I'm drawing a blank. I kind of think I know who the champion is, and I don't want to ruin it for you if you don't. I can't remember who challenges him, though.
So Yokozuna doesn't still have the title?
Oh, well, if you want to know the truth, no, he doesn't.
Oh, interesting. So new champion.
New champion by WrestleMania. I just can't remember who he faces. I'm trying to think of the... I won't say anymore.
Well, don't spoil.
I won't spoil. So, I've said too much.
Question is does Yokozuna still have the title at Royal Rumble?
Yes, he's still champion as of right now.
So he's still champion. That means he loses it from Royal Rumble till WrestleMania.
Quite possibly.
Traditionally.
Quite possibly.
Traditionally, I don't know why I said that. Traditionally, your champion has the title at Royal Rumble, and you know who you're going to face at WrestleMania. Most occasions.
Okay. Well, I won't say any more. I'll let you be surprised, but I think I've said too much because we will have a new champion come WrestleMania time.
Interesting.
I believe. But anyhow, regardless, the only two matches I can remember for WrestleMania 10 for sure is Owen Hart versus Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon to unify the Intercontinental Championship in a ladder match. So those are the only two matches I can think of at the moment.
Those are some of the big names, so it's not one of them that has the title. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, neither, none of them four have the title.
Oh, which means Lex Luger probably has the title. Anyways, continue.
Okay. So, but before we get into the Royal Rumble, we have a new year, and you know what that means, Blaze?
Video games!
We have a new slot of video games for the year 1994. We have three video games we will be covering, and we're going to start our first one off with one that I remember playing a lot of on Super Nintendo.
Oh, we played the shit out of this game.
WWF Raw! So this is one of my most memorable games on Super Nintendo. Keep in mind, this game was also on the 32X, which was like an extension of the Sega Genesis. You kind of plugged it in to the Sega Genesis. It was like to enhance the graphics or whatever.
Did it, though?
You also had Sega Genesis. You also had Game Boy, and you had a Game Gear version. So this, finally, they kind of released this game on multiple platforms. Where I think before this game, a lot of the games was like, if there was a Genesis game, it was
slightly different name.
Yeah, it was a little different. It's like they couldn't release the same game on multiple systems for whatever reason.
Well, except for there was that one we watched where they showed them back side by side.
Yeah. So this one kind of released on quite a bit of different platforms. You know, so you had 1, 2, 3... You had five different platforms this released
on. And we played this specifically on Super Nintendo.
Yes. So our experience of Super Nintendo, that is what we mainly reviewed this on. We did watch some videos on the Game Boy and the Game Gear. just to kind of see what the handheld versions look like, because we never played those as a, you know, as a kid. I don't remember ever having those handheld ports.
I had Game Boy, but it was a little...
Well, no, we had the Game Boy and the Game Gear. We didn't have this game. I don't remember, yeah, I don't remember ever playing this game. We didn't have this game. So anyhow, this game has a total of, well, it depends on the version. On the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, it had 12 rosters.
12
wrestlers. I'm sorry. You had Bret Hart, The Undertaker, Yokozuna, Bam Bam Bigelow, Razor Ramon, Lex Luger, Doink the Clown, Shawn Michaels, 1-2-3 Kid, Diesel, and Owen Hart, and Luna Vachon.
I cannot believe Luna and 1-2-3 Kid is in a video game this far back.
Yeah, well, 1-2-3 Kid's been a pretty big deal on Raw lately. But Luna Vachon has too, but it's just surprising to see them add one woman.
Yeah, no other women, just Luna Vachon. So she wrestles with all the men.
So
progressive, maybe?
So the 32X version had those exact same 12 wrestlers, difference being it had a secret character named Quang, which is a new character played by, you probably remember him better as Savio Vega.
Oh, yeah, I recognize that name.
Well, his original gimmick in the WWF was Quang, which was like this, I don't know, masked... I don't even know how to describe the guy.
It's someone with a speech impediment trying to say Krang.
Yeah, so anyhow, like a Japanese style, like, I don't know. Anyhow, that's look up Quang.
Such a weird Google name.
I don't think he lasted very long, but he ends up becoming Savio Vega.
I remember Savio Vega. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So the Game Gear roster had only 8 of those same superstars. They had Bret Hart, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Bam Bam Bigelow, Yokozuna, Lex Luger, and Diesel. And then it also had 2 exclusive characters that you didn't get on the other systems. And that was Macho Man Randy Savage, and this would be his last WWF/WWE appearance on any video game for 16 years. So this is the last time you're going to see Randy Savage on a WWF/WWE video game for quite a while.
This is sad. He doesn't show up in good games.
Yeah.
Like Raw.
So he's not on the Super Nintendo, the Sega, or the 32X, but he shows up on the Game Gear. And then Crush is also an exclusive character. The Game Boy roster is Bret Hart, The Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Yokozuna, Diesel, Doink the Clown, and Lex Luger. So that is what you get in the Game Boy roster. The differences between these versions is, as we already mentioned, Quang's a hidden wrestler in the 32X version. They also have extra moves and outside weapons for the 32X version. They also have alternating referees. There's not always the same referee. And you also have alternating commentators. You have either Vince McMahon and Jerry the King Lawler, or you have Gorilla Monsoon and Stephanie Wyand.
Who?
I don't know. Don't know who that is.
I know a Stephanie, but that's not her last name.
Yeah, I don't remember her. So, anyhow. So that is what you get in the 32X version. The handheld ports had fewer wrestlers, as we mentioned, and they do not include the Bedlam, Royal Rumble, or Raw Endurance match types. Also, wrestlers share the same move sets, except for their signature moves. They do have their own signature moves. But they don't have mega moves, which mega moves are like crazy flips off the top rope, and there's some other stuff.
The we one saw. Where Luna Vachon did a
literally a
tilt
spin
a
in midair.
Defies the laws of gravity. There was one where Doink just punched someone outside of the ring.
The handheld version also ran much slower, which is kind of obvious. So you also have, let's see here. Here are all the match types. You have a one-on-one match, tag classic, team match,
classic.
A Survivor Series match, which is 4-on-4.
Cool.
Then you have a Royal Rumble match, a Bedlam match, which is essentially a tornado tag team.
Okay.
Well, I don't know why they called it
Bedlam. They probably didn't call it tornado tag team back then.
Well, that is what a Bedlam match essentially is. And then a Raw Endurance match is kind of like the Bedlam, but it's like a 6-on-1 handicap match.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I guess it can be. It's either a 6-on-6 match, or one side can have less and you can turn it into a handicap match. So that's kind of weird. Huh. But that's a Raw Endurance match. So you pick your player, and then you can pick 5 more partners. So, yeah, you can do a 6-on-6. So that's kind of different. And then each player has their own finishing moves and mega moves. We watched it on Super Nintendo, and it's still, I think, it looks as good as it did back then if you ever played a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah.
I thought it looked pretty good.
It did.
Back in the day. But we watched Game Gear footage, and that looked horrendous. It kind of reminded me of the way the blocky, weird-looking Minecraft characters look in a wrestling ring.
Sure.
That's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah, it was not great.
The weird thing is we watched the Game Boy footage, and I thought the Game Boy looked better.
Not by a lot.
In a weird, like, it looked more traditional Nintendo-looking style, where it was just black and white, but it was very Nintendo-ish looking.
Fair enough.
Where the Game Gear just looked ugly. It had color, but it just, the characters just looked really, really weird. So, that's my opinion on the look of the game. As for the gameplay, this is a very tug-of-war style game where you just button mash, and when the meter goes one way or the other, you win the tug-of-war. So it's one of those things that, very fond memories, but probably a lot of broken controllers playing this game.
Mainly you.
I play to win.
Yeah, this was interesting. Now, I remember it very fondly, and watching this was, fun to watch and everything. However, I don't remember the ridiculous moves.
Yeah.
I don't remember Luna Vachon at all, for one, and I don't remember her doing a tilt-a-whirl or a pinwheel or whatever that was, where she stayed in the air for a long period of time for some reason. I don't remember 1-2-3 Kid jumping from rope to rope.
I also don't remember a lot of what we saw in the footage, which leads me to believe we were very basic playing this, and we sucked.
Probably just didn't know how to do those moves, what I'm getting.
I don't think we knew how to do what they call the mega moves. I don't think we knew about those. I think we knew about the special moves, where you just do your sharpshooters and all your other moves that they did, jackknife power bombs and stuff. But I don't think we ever knew about these mega moves. And I don't know. I'd have to go back and play it to find out how to do them. But I don't think we ever knew.
No, I don't remember it at all.
So that's kind of interesting. But that is our trip down in memory lane for 1994's WWF Raw. Like I said, we'll have 2 more video games for you in the coming episodes. This was a cool one. Like I said, this one brought back a lot of fond memories, because this is actually a game we played a lot of hours on.
Agreed. It was we played the crap out of this game. We loved this game.
Yes.
Yeah, really enjoyed this one.
Okay, so without further ado, let's go back in time to 1994's Royal Rumble. Okay, so the first match of the Royal Rumble turns out to be a pretty good one. I actually really, really, really enjoyed this match. It is Bam Bam Bigelow with his, what did they call her? His main squeeze.
Luna Vachon.
Versus Tatanka. So, this match actually really started off really high octane and had a lot of really good moments. This one shocked me because I didn't know what to expect between these two. But this ended up being a very pretty good match. I'm actually going to give it, since at the, during the match, they both did this because Bam Bam did it to taunt Tatanka, but I'm going to give it 4, war dances.
All right, yeah. First off, I want to mention hell of a we really were in sync there, weren't we?
Yeah.
When we said Luna Vachon.
Yes, we was.
But yeah, this was a pretty decent match. How many did you give it?
I gave it 4 war dances.
I don't know if I'm willing to give it 4. But I'll give it 3.5 backflips, which Bam Bam did a pretty impressive. No, don't get me wrong. He missed. Tatanka avoided the splash. But still, it was a pretty impressive backflip for that giant of a man.
Yeah, he's always been a little bit more athletic than most of the big men. I think he was a little bit more athletic when we first saw him in the late 80s. But here in the early 90s, he seems like a little bit aging, but he still could do that backflip, which was really good.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. I agree. I liked it a lot. It was a very decent match. I was pretty impressed because I don't dislike Bam Bam and I don't dislike Tatanka, but they're not the ones that, you know, get me excited when I see them show up. But this was good. It's a good match.
Okay. Okay, so the next match we have is the tag team championship belts are on the line. The Quebecers versus Bret and Owen Hart. This match was, I don't know, it was amazing, it was odd, and it had a great finish with a great story. I don't know where to begin on this match. This match was incredible. I was ready to give this match a 4.5, but I dropped it down because of some awkwardness. So instead, I'm giving this 4 Mounties, I guess. We'll give it 4 Mounties. I don't know. So the reason I mentioned the awkwardness is this was a phenomenal match, great wrestling throughout for all 4 of the guys. But the awkwardness came in when Bret Hart got thrown out of the ring and hurt his knee. The referee must have started the count at least 10 times during this. But Owen Hart kept interrupting him. So every time he interrupted him, the referee must not remember how to count to 10 without starting from the beginning. So he started back at 1 every time. The other weird thing was he kept holding Owen back from helping his brother while the Quebecers attacked the shit out of Bret Hart.
Just like Bret Hart holds Owen back.
I mean, this was just weird because it was blatant. I know the referee gets distracted so these things could happen, but he kept turning around and seeing the Quebecers beat Bret Hart and then turned back around like, I don't need to see that.
I'm really focused on you. Honestly, it almost felt like the ref was paid off.
Yeah, because, like, because then Bret gets back in the ring. Owen is begging for a tag because he knows his brother's hurt, but instead Bret Hart tries to put the sharpshooter on, I think Jacques, but he tries to put the sharpshooter on and of course hurts himself while doing it. So the referee stops the match and says, Bret Hart can't continue. What was that? It was just a very weird finished, weird But everything else was amazing. The match was amazing. The story being told was amazing because previously, obviously, when we watched Survivor Series, Owen Hart got mad at Bret Hart because of his elimination. So that story continued on Monday Night Raw until they made up and decided they were going to go for the tag team titles. Well, then this story continued with, okay, we're legitimately working together. See, I was prepared for Owen to, like, do something to Bret, walk away, attack Bret. None of that happened. The way the story played out was, why wouldn't you tag me? And that played actually a better and legitimate story on why a brother would be mad. So this actually wasn't like a strange, like, we need an explanation tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw on why you just did this. This was more of a legitimate, you could see it play out. You could see that Bret legitimately did not tag Owen Hart, even when he was injured, and he had a chance to. So you could see the frustration in Owen, and the story played out perfectly where it really made sense. For you almost feel for Owen like, and of course people are booing him because he's making comments about, well, we could have won if he wasn't selfish. He had to put his sharpshooter on even though his leg was hurt. So, I mean,
Bret Hart was selfish.
Yeah, I know.
He was selfish.
That's what I'm saying. It was a legitimate good reason to be mad at your brother. So this played out perfectly, and as we already know, we get an Owen Hart Bret Hart classic match at WrestleMania. I can't wait to watch it, but this really set it up perfectly that you had a legitimate reason why Owen is frustrated. I mean, he got eliminated in the Survivor Series because Bret got in the way. Granted, we saw he was blinded, he didn't know he did it, but then this one legitimately, like, why didn't you tag your brother in? You were hurt. So this is pretty a really cool finish. And then they're taking him out on a stretcher. And then, of course, they have their version of the Titantron back then with the multiple TVs that like a big TV. And they had Owen in the back talking, telling Bret, you're selfish. And so that was a really cool image to see Owen Hart yelling at his brother on the monitor while Bret's getting stretchered towards the monitor. I thought that was cool. And then, of course, I kind of skipped over. Owen Hart did trip Bret Hart at the end of the match when, you know, he was frustrated, so he kicked his legs out from under him. But this was an awesome segment, story, match. The only question I have is that is, like, the most incompetent referee I think we've ever seen.
I'm pretty sure the Million Dollar Man paid him off.
So, yeah, I don't know. This is just, other than the incompetency of the referee, this was an amazing match, amazing story. I'm giving it a solid 4.
Yes, this was actually a very good match. Owen Hart had this really good arm drag that he turned into a pin attempt right afterwards. I mean, Owen was very impressive in this match, along with his great story. I felt he was really fun in the ring. Just a lot of good stuff. And, yeah, it was kind of a little awkward. Because, like I said, it legit seemed like the referee was paid off. Because he just kept on, it's like, forget about the fact that these two are double-teaming Bret Hart outside.
They used a golf club, a chair.
Oh, and you're in the ring. You need to get out of the ring. You need to get around. You guys are fine. You guys are fine. Owen, step back. Step back.
Get in your corner and grab your string.
And there was no way. The ref turned around right when he hits Bret Hart with a chair, and he just like, nothing to see here,
I didn't see shit.
Owen, Owen, will you get back in the corner?
I didn't see shit.
Dude was paid off, man.
Yeah, it was a very bad optics for the referee, but the match itself was amazing.
Maybe he needs glasses.
That was bad.
But I really enjoyed this match. I'm also giving it a 4. I'm giving it a 4. Brett, stop screwing over your brother.
Yeah. I can't even argue that. Like I said, they literally did a good job giving this guy a good reason to be mad. So I think that's really good storytelling there. It's pretty amazing.
It was very good storytelling.
Okay, so the next match is for the WWF Intercontinental Championship. It is IRS versus the champion, Razor Ramon. So this match I thought was not as good as the last couple matches.
It really wasn't, but there was the ending was fun.
The ending was fun. Yeah, I agree with that. So this match was just there. I mean, it wasn't like nothing bad, I would say. There wasn't really anything bad. There just wasn't anything that spectacular. But the way
it
ended,
quite a long time of, I believe it was IRS doing a sleeper hold or a choke hold.
Stuff like that.
On the ground.
Yeah.
It was a little too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you've got this situation where, so the referee gets knocked out. So then Shawn Michaels comes out, hits Razor Ramon over the head with his Intercontinental Championship because he believes he's the Intercontinental Champion.
Well, before that, Razor Ramon takes it down IRS and goes for the pin. Has him in a pin long enough for the 3 count.
Right.
But the ref is knocked out. I don't think he realized it at first.
Right.
And then Shawn Michaels comes out, hits him with the true championship.
Oh, okay.
And knocks out Razor Ramon. And then there was about, I don't know, 2 minutes maybe, where they're just both laying on the ground. All three of them. Ref is just, you know, lying on the job. I mean, he is taking a nap. And they're all just laying there. And then IRS just finally comes to and is like, oh, hey. All right. Just crawls over to Razor, gets the 1, 2, 3, and that's the end of this match. Nothing else to talk about, right?
Yeah, so that was the weird thing, is he did count the 1, 2, 3, but you didn't hear a bell. I don't know if you caught that. There was no bell. There was no bell. Referee wakes up, counts the pin for IRS. You assume IRS just won the title. He's holding up the title. But here's the interesting thing. So another referee comes out, which I believe was Earl Hebner, comes out and explains what had happened. They don't even technically restart the match or even explain themselves.
No.
Razor Ramon just takes it upon himself to grab IRS from the... He was on the turnbuckle celebrating, holding the belt.
And Razor Ramon's just fuck it, I'm doing the Razor's Edge on him.
Razor Ramon just puts the Razor's Edge on him. These two referees are talking, see him do that. He pins IRS, and the referee's like, oh, okay. 1, 2, 3, ding, ding, ding. Champion gets to keep his title. But it was a very, once again...
Well, in fairness... Razor Ramon was knocked out when he was pinned, and IRS thought he won.
Yes,
so he probably just came to and was like, "The fuck is going on here?"
So this was just this has actually been a very good for match wise for Royal Rumble, but it's been a bad day for referees. Referees are really not knowing how to do their job.
He got hit over the head.
Yeah, but he counted the pin.
He didn't tell.
Okay, so.
And the messed up thing is they don't tell IRS at all. So IRS is just like, what the fuck is going on? Shit.
So here's the thing. We have seen this before where somebody won a match that wasn't supposed to win, and they made an announcement. They said, due to this, blah, 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 the referee has decided to continue this match. We've seen that before.
Not this time.
There was just Razor Ramon taking it upon himself to Razor's Edge, an IRS that thought he won the match.
IRS is just like, the fuck?
It was just a very awkward exchange of what the hell just happened type of moments.
He is going to charge that referee with all the taxes.
Oh my goodness. This man is going to get audited like crazy. But no, this was a very, it was an okay match. It was an average match. It wasn't nothing spectacular, nothing, but it was just, it was just weird. Just the way it went about, it was just weird. So I will have to give this 3 incompetent referees.
I was just going to say, I'm going to give it 2 refs, because that's how many refs they're going to need tonight, because their one ref is not very good.
Yeah, so this is just
2 refs.
This is a bad day for the Zebras.
It's
all right.
Not good.
Okay, so the next match is for the WWF World Heavyweight Championship. And this is The Undertaker versus Yokozuna. And this was, as a match, it was good. It wasn't bad. But it was everything that happened during the match that made this interesting.
Batshit crazy.
Batshit freaking crazy. So, Undertaker appears to probably about ready to win the match when
Crush.
Everybody.
Well, it started with just Crush.
It started with Crush, but everybody came out of the locker room to prevent Undertaker from winning this
match.
If
you were a villain, you were out there.
Yeah. This was like a who's who of heels. This was Crush, Diesel, Double J, that's J-E, Double F, J-A, Double R-E, Double T, Double J, Jeff Jarrett. Bam Bam Bigelow. Who else was out there? My goodness.
The name's like, so good, you say it twice.
I mean, it was crazy. It was like just everybody came out.
The head shrinkers.
The head shrinkers came out. I think that was the Orient Express. I don't know.
One of them was called Kabuki.
Yeah, I didn't even recognize those guys. I'd have to look it up. I don't know who those guys were.
Diesel.
Yeah. I think I mentioned Diesel.
He came out last.
So, yeah, just everybody came out specifically to make sure the Undertaker lost to Yokozuna. Why? Like, what was the motivation? This was just odd. I stand corrected, because at the beginning of the show, I thought Yokozuna lost this match. I just assumed with it being a casket match, I thought he lost.
The funny thing is you thought he lost and didn't have the title. And I thought, I knew he lost. Or won, I mean. I knew he won, but I didn't realize that's who you thought. So Rage thought Undertaker went to WrestleMania with the title.
Yeah, I couldn't remember who the WrestleMania match was, but now I know it's Yokozuna versus Mystery Man, because we haven't got the Royal Rumble winner yet. So we'll just say Mystery Man, but I kind of ruined it for myself when I looked it up, because I was really curious, because I didn't think Yokozuna had the title at WrestleMania 10, but I guess he was.
Well, I knew Yokozuna won this match, because I knew, I know the storyline that happens here. On my other podcast, Pro Wrestling Apologist, I did a Hall of Fame about fake Undertaker. It was the fake Undertaker, and I watched the fake Undertaker versus Undertaker match at SummerSlam 1994. So I knew the storyline, because I knew the story about the fake Undertaker. Undertaker loses this match, which, spoilers, Undertaker loses this match and goes to the heavens, apparently. And you don't see Undertaker for quite a while. And for some reason, a fake Undertaker takes his place. So I knew the outcome of this, but I was not aware that the person you thought won this match was the one that went to WrestleMania.
I guess I just never realized why there was a fake Undertaker. I guess I forgot. I couldn't remember that part of the story.
And it was a casket match, so I just assumed Undertaker. Well, and I just assumed this might have been Undertaker's first WWF win or championship win, which we haven't seen him as champ yet, so I don't think.
No, we haven't.
So yeah, I just thought this is where maybe he won his first title, but no, I was wrong.
No, he definitely does not win this match because Yokozuna brings out the Yakuza. Which is all I can assume is that they're all part of a Japanese mafia.
Yeah, this was just odd. It was like everybody came out of the locker room. And here's the problem. How big a dicks are the faces in this day and age? Not a one came out this.
They're all in the back eating popcorn. It's like, well, that really sucks for him.
Yeah, like all the faces just stayed in the locker
room. They're all
like,
just back there like, rest in peace. You think you're a good guy. We don't agree.
This is just craziness. That was one of the most oddball ways of finishing a match I think I've ever seen.
You're just a tall emo.
This has just been wild. But now, in the referee's defense on this match, it was no disqualification because it was a casket match.
It was a casket.
So
this
was
a real casket match, yeah. Too. Unlike the other casket match we watched a couple of pay-per-views ago where you had to pin them, then throw them in the casket. And the casket match was essentially just there. This is a real one. You had to throw them in there and you had to lock the door to win.
Yeah, so... all right, well, I mean, I'm going to give this one 3.5 rising Undertakers. Because he floated up in the air. Oh, the Undertaker! He came! He will risen! Oh!
Yeah, this was... Here's the problem, though, is I love the craziness of this end. This was a lot of fun.
It's wild.
But I disagree. I don't think it was that good of a match. There was a weird, like, Undertaker tried to do a choke slam. By the way,
we got
a choke slam.
That was a bad choke slam.
We got a choke slam. Not a good one.
No.
But we got, I guess it's called a choke slam, where he tried to pick up Yokozuna, and clearly Yokozuna's too big, and he just, like, barely picks him up. I didn't think this was a very good match, so I'm not sure how to grade this because
match. I graded it based off, I think, a lot of the theatrics and just the whole thing in general, because a lot of that happened during the match and it was a no disqualification match. So technically you can say that's part of your match. I mean, the only thing that really happened afterwards was him rising to the heavens or whatever and talking while in the casket.
Apparently being electrocuted for some reason.
Yeah, it was very, very, it was
cheesy.
Odd. It was very cheesy.
It was very cheesy, but I actually enjoyed the cheesiness.
It was crazy.
It was ridiculous. It was crazy.
But I gave it a 3.5 just because it was different.
Yeah, it's hard to say because it was a little... Just a little rough. I mean, the match itself was just not very... And you know what I've noticed? It's very story-driven. This entire Royal Rumble has had some pretty damn good stories. You got Owen Hart. You got this one. Like, it hasn't been, like, stellar matches. But we've had some interesting stories being told.
You've had the Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels thing. The only match that really didn't tell much of a story but was a pretty good match was Tatanka and Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, there wasn't much of a story there.
Is that
because we're starting to get into that Raw era where they're really focusing on these storylines?
It may be. It might start getting more story-driven.
We're just getting
because
a little...
I think we're kind of at a time where it was more character-driven, where... You focused on this character being this type of profession or this type of profession, and that was kind of what you led on. But people fought, but there wasn't a huge story. It was just, you know, you had animosity towards another one. But it, like we were saying, that, you know, before, which I'm not caught up all the way on Raw.
because we ended up recording this a little earlier than we usually do. So I still have a couple episodes, but like the
speaking of
the Tatanka,
we're going to talk about the pay-per-view we're going to go see on the next episode.
Yeah. So we had advertised on the last show that we were going to talk about AEW. And unfortunately, due to scheduling of next week, we got together early to do this show. So we will not be talking about AEW until the next show, which would be the beginning of WrestleMania.
Correct.
So we will share our AEW experience on the WrestleMania episode. So we'll be a week behind there on that situation. But going back to this show, there was really no lead up for Tatanka and Bam Bam unless I missed something in the last like two episodes of Raw I need to watch. But Tatanka was feuding with Ludwig Borga, and Bam Bam Bigelow was feuding with Doink. So I'm not 100% sure like why that match even materialized, unless something happened in the last two episodes of Raw that I hadn't watched yet. So it was just kind of a weird situation where it was like they just kind of put together matches, and kind of with the IRS and the Razor Ramon thing. Razor was feuding with Shawn Michaels. So how did IRS get a title shot just out of nowhere? But it is what it is. But it's just kind of the weird bookings they do. And Brett and Owen wasn't really feuding with the Quebecers. They were just like, oh, we've kissed and made up, and now we're going to go for the tag team titles. It was like, oh, okay. So the Yokozuna Undertaker is the only one that's really had kind of a story leading up to it.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to give this 3.5 hit jobs. Cause this was a mafia hit is what this was. There's no other way to put it. I mean, you had literally almost every villain in the back come out just to help Yokozuna. There's some ties to the mob. It was a hit job.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Taking out Undertaker. And you know what? I say this match is bad, but Rage, you looked up what happened and the reason why we don't see Undertaker, the real Undertaker, for a while. It's because he was having some back problems and he needed, did he have surgery?
Or? I don't know if maybe he needed surgery, but it was to give him time to heal from a back injury. But the back injury must have been a little okay because he went through with this match and they obviously knew he was leaving because of the way this... The way this ended, they knew he was taking time off. So I guess so if they knew he needed time off,
that's probably why this match wasn't that good.
Maybe they probably knew he needed a back surgery. Maybe,
yeah.
So it's hard to say.
So that might also explain why the match wasn't too great. Why that terrible choke slam happened?
Well, the choke slam happened because Yokozuna at this point probably weighs
pounds.
Like 550 pounds, and you would have to lift him up pretty good to make that look good.
Well, actually,
so he just kind of dropped him.
Okay, so when you do a choke slam, it's mostly the person getting the choke slam that does most of the work. They jump in the air. They're supposed to jump in the air, so it's not really the actual wrestler performing the
so
move.
So it's essentially you jumping in the air and then falling.
Yes. You take a bump.
And you just have your hand there to make it, you know, look.
Yeah, to make it look like you're doing a choke slam. But
right, where Yokozuna...
That's one of those moves.
We learned that Yokozuna's jump in the air is like a little of it, like his feet not leaving the ground very far.
No, he
and
doesn't
just
jump very
back.
Well. He yeah, doesn't yeah, jump yeah. very well, no.
So essentially that's what we got. So it is what it is. Yeah. All right, let's move on. I think all we have left on this show now is the actual Royal Rumble match. Okay, so it is time for the Royal Rumble match. The first thing that we get is promos from multiple competitors. One that kind of stood out to me was Shawn Michaels' promo. I mean, I love Shawn Michaels already. Everybody who listens to the show knows that. But the part that I liked is he said, out with the old, in with the new, and he tossed the Intercontinental Championship, which technically isn't the real Intercontinental Championship, because obviously, you know, technically Razor Ramon's the IC champ. but he tosses it out of screen and says, I'm going to win the Rumble and become the new WWF champion. So I thought that was really neat.
Right.
But I thought that promo was cool. And then I really hated Lex Luger's promo. I don't know why, but he is just, I just don't think he's a good talker.
I also don't think he's a good face. I don't like him as a face. I liked him as the narcissist. I thought the narcissist gimmick was pretty cool.
Fit him a little better than this.
Now he's just generic patriotic guy. That's all he is. He doesn't really have a gimmick. He's just, I wear flags on me.
Well, he's the new Hulk Hogan. They're trying to make him the new Hulk Hogan.
Even Hulk Hogan, I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, Hulk Hogan was, you know, he came down the aisle with, I'm a real American.
Yeah, but.
He wore yellow trunks. It was a little different. But they're essentially. They're essentially trying to replace that person.
I get that, but Hulk Hogan had a personality. He could also talk on the mic.
And that's the one thing Hulk Hogan could do better than the majority of everybody was he could talk. And
especially back
Lex
then.
Lex Luger was very awkward. Like, the way he talked was just, I don't know.
But yeah, without having that charisma, it's just kind of there. He's just there. And he just is, he's generic. He's just not very entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. He's kind of dull, but it is what it is.
But he wasn't dull when he was the narcissist. That's my point. Like, his gimmick was good. Or at least he worked it well.
He's the type of guy that would have benefited from having, like, well, when he first came out, Bobby the Brain Heenan came out for him and talked for him. And all he had to do is flex and look like Lex Luger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's all he had to do. But
I liked the whole.
You give him a mic, he's a face. He's just kind of a weird. I think that's why it just didn't work out, because he just wasn't very charismatic.
No, he's not, and that's my problem with him.
Yeah,
when you can just be a cocky asshole in front of a mirror, it works.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and get this started. The number one entrant is Big Papa Pump. Holla if you hear me.
That is not who he
Scott
is. Scott
right Steiner.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's
that
not
yet.
That guy
he's
yet.
Not that
he's
yet.
Not that
he's
guy.
He's not that guy.
He's not the big bad booty daddy.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that. There's a lot of things he
Big
said.
Big Bad Booty Daddy.
Big Bad Booty Daddy.
Really?
Yeah, go look up Scott Steiner.
No, I'm good.
He's one of the head cases in wrestling. So, Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner is the first entrant into the Royal Rumble, and the second is Samu, one half of the Head Shrinkers. So number three entrant is Rick Steiner. Number four is Quang. That was not a misread. Savio Vega really played a character named Quang. Okay.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Quang. And Quang, during the match, spit green mist in Rick Steiner's face. Yes. Remember kind of like how Tajiri used to,
yeah,
you know, and there's been some more great Muda, I think, did it. And there was a bunch of people, but yeah, he spit
green mist. It came from Japanese pro wrestling. It's primarily a Japanese thing.
Well, Savio Vega
traditionally
is not Japanese.
Traditionally,
wears a mask and comes out as Quang.
Well, it's primarily normally a it came from Japan.
Okay. So number five entrant is Owen Hart. Number six is Bart Gunn. Number seven is Diesel. Number eight is Bob Backlund. Number nine is Billy Gunn. Number 10 is Virgil. Now go through the eliminations.
All right. So, first off, we have the Steiner brothers. They kind of toss Samu into the ropes, and his head gets tied up in them, and then he eventually falls out. Owen Hart then throws out Rick Steiner. And then Diesel tosses out Bart Gunn. He tosses out Scott Steiner. He tosses out Owen Hart. He tosses out Quang. He tosses out Bob Backlund.
Dang. I'm upset, Quang. Dang.
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 And he tosses out Billy Gunn. And,
Did you remember Bob Backlund?
Then he tosses out... I did say Bob Backlund, right? Oh, did you? Billy Gunn. Yeah, okay. I need you to listen to me. Okay. And then he tosses out Virgil. Diesel, already with 10 entrants, has tied the record for most eliminations in a single Royal Rumble with 7 already.
So he has only not eliminated two guys?
He didn't eliminate Rick Steiner and Samu.
Yeah, so Rick Steiner and Samu, which Steiner was eliminated by Owen Hart, and Samu, technically, according to the Wikipedia page, was eliminated by Scott Steiner. But other than those two, that's it. He's eliminated everybody else. Yeah. This is crazy.
We've never had this happen yet.
Yeah, he is just clearing house. Well, we've had people clear house, but it was later in the show.
Yeah, not this early.
He just cleared house, and now he's just punishing everybody that's walking through. So I'm really curious when everything will, you know, kind of build up again and how he gets eliminated and all that. That'd be fun to know. But so far, this has been pretty entertaining. It's been quick because, didn't they say it was a minute and a half? They changed it to a minute and a half. And... In modern Royal Rumble, it's still 2 minutes, right? So it obviously gets changed back. So I wonder how long this
for this.
Yeah, I wonder how long this lasts. Another key note I'd like to point out is they said that Virgil was a replacement for Kamala. Don't know what happened to Kamala, but they had originally on Monday Night Raw announced all the people that was going to be in the Rumble. Kamala was one of them. So... we have on our podcast, technically, our first surprise entrant.
Yeah, kind of a disappointing one.
Yeah, well, obviously, we're not at that point where they're bringing in legends and stuff that people we haven't seen in 10 years. I guess, technically, I mean, WrestleMania was back in 85, so we're at the point where it could happen. They could bring out people that we haven't seen in a long time, but I guess technically
Virgil we haven't seen in a while either, but Virgil just never, he was a little popular when he turned on Million Dollar Man, but I think that was a mistake for him. He had the best gimmick.
That was about the end of it for him. And we don't see Virgil much here either because he gets tossed out. Within seconds of being in the ring. As a matter of fact, I think his official time was 32 seconds. Actually, he lasted longer than I expected. Billy Gunn only lasted 14 seconds.
Jeez.
So, 32, I mean, good for Virgil.
Good for Virgil.
That's 32 seconds of screen time. Make a name for yourself, kid. All right, let's go. Okay, our number 11th entrant is the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Number 12 is Double J. That's J-E double F.
I think you did.
J-A double R E double T double J. Ha ha. Jeff Jarrett. You just got to see this. These video promos he's been doing. And then one of his teeth shine. It like glitters. Like ding. You know, smiles. Anyhow, not the point. Okay. Next, number 13 is Crush. Number 14 is Doink the Clown. Number 15 is Bam Bam Bigelow. Number 16, Mabel. Number 17, Thurman Sparky Plug. Otherwise known as Bob Holly later. Yeah, that's Bob Holly. Number 18, Shawn Michaels. Number 19, Mo. And number 20, Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, not in his costume?
No, it does not look like he is the Blue Knight this time, or whatever color knight he was. Was he the Red Knight? Which knight was he?
He was blue.
Blue Knight?
He was the Blue Knight. Okay, so not a lot of tossing out, but we have one very sad toss.
Oh.
Macho Man tosses out Jeff Jarrett. That is Jeff Jarrett, JEFFJARRETTJJ. Ha ha! Jeff Jarrett.
You fucked it up. It's double J.
Whatever. J- what did I say?
JJ.
JJ. Double J. Nice. I haven't watched him do it, okay, in like 20, 30 years, okay?
That's a good try, though. Good job.
Thank you, thank you.
He does do that. Ha ha. Jeff Jarrett.
Crush does a body slam to Macho, taking him out. Bam Bam tosses out Doink with a body press slam. And here's the sad part. Diesel gets taken out by literally everyone in that ring. And he stays tied right now for the most eliminations in a match with Hulk Hogan and Yokozuna at seven.
I was surprised because he was actually in there for quite a while after his seventh elimination. So to think that he couldn't get one more was just kind of
I'm guessing shocking. They just weren't ready to actually pull the to actually give him the lead.
You think that in the moment, though, while they're doing these matches, they think of that?
Not in the moment, but I think they have the whole match mapped out for the most part, and they tell him, you're going to take this many people out and tie the record.
I suppose.
I mean, before the match, they have a script for this Royal Rumble of how they want it to go. They have certain spots. You get to do what you want inside the ring, but you have certain spots that they want to happen. And I'm sure telling Diesel to toss out seven people in a row is one of the spots they had. And I think they particularly made sure it was only seven. I don't think they wanted Diesel to have the record.
Fully. Maybe so. All right. Go through the rest.
Oh, he was the last one.
That was it?
Yeah. That's
all the eliminations?
That's all the eliminations.
Okay, well, let's move on to the final 10 of the Rumble.
All right.
Okay, so number 21 is Tatanka. Number 22, the Great Kabuki. Number 23, Lex Luger. Number 24 is Tenryu. Yeah. Number 25 is Bastion Booger, but he was unable to compete. The story they're giving us is he was sick. So we'll have to look into the real story and see if we can find out why Bastion Booger did not compete in this Royal Rumble. Number 26 is Rick Martel. 27 is Bret Hart. Number 28, Fatu. Number 29, Marty Jannetty. And number 30, Adam Bomb.
All right, so let's go through the eliminations real quick. Everyone takes out Mabel. When Lex gets in, he tosses out Kabuki. He takes out Crush with a punch. Bret Hart throws out Sparky Plug. Who, you mentioned who that was.
It's Bob Holly.
Bob Holly.
Or Hardcore Holly.
Hardcore Holly. Rick the Model Martel takes out Greg the Hammer Valentine. Tatanka then takes out the Model. Lex takes out Adam Bomb. I believe he takes him out by ducking, and Adam Bomb gets thrown out before. Then they just randomly show Tatanka outside the ring. He was taken out by someone. I don't know. I'm pretty sure we lost. The announcers kept talking about some other people being taken out. He's like, hey, what's he doing out? So there was some eliminations they didn't show on screen. Lex punches Bam Bam, knocking him out. And then Lex and Brett work together to take out Tenru. I don't know about you, but I feel like this this Royal Rumble's lacked some impressive eliminations.
Yeah, I don't know if there's been one, like, standout. I mean, Diesel was eliminating a bunch of people, but there hasn't there hasn't been, like, a really crazy elimination quite yet.
The most interesting one is Bam Bam tossing out Doink with a body press slam. I mean, normally I try to look at and tell how they take them out, but most of these has just been tosses.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been kind of a... I don't know about you. I mean, we'll save that for later, but this has been kind of a disappointing Rumble in my book.
Yeah, but the actual show itself's been pretty good, and we'll talk about
that later. We've had some fun stories, yeah.
But the Rumble itself has just kind of been... And it seems like it's going by really fast with this whole minute-and-a-half thing instead of the two-minute thing, so that definitely changes things. But it hasn't been the most exciting Rumble we have seen. I'll give you that.
It hasn't been.
Okay, so the final four is Lex Luger, Bret the Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels, and Fatu.
Yeah, and this is an interesting end. Very interesting end. Shawn Michaels and Fatu get taken out because Bret and Lex both toss them at each other at the corner, and they get back body drop at the exact same time. Exact same time is going to be the theme for this last final four. Back body drop them both at the same time, taking out Shawn Michaels and Fatu together. We get them fighting for a little bit, and then both of them go over the ropes at the exact same time, and there is apparently no cameraman on the other side because they have no clear footage of who landed first. So we get our first Royal Rumble controversy end.
Yeah, so this was weird because they came out and they announced, well, the winner is, and then Lex Luger, and then they're like, wait, no, the winner is Bret Hart, and then President Jack Tunney comes out, and he ends up deciding that they are both co-winners. So what does this mean? I'm not sure. We already know Bret Hart faces Owen Hart at WrestleMania, so my guess is it's going to be Lex Luger versus Yokozuna, and I'm guessing maybe they're going to do a match from now until WrestleMania to determine that. I'm not sure if this was a few years later,
it would be a triple threat match.
This is true, but that doesn't exist yet.
We're guessing on Raw, Lex and Bret Hart have a match, and Lex Luger wins, is what we're assuming happens.
Yeah, so we don't know exactly what's going on here, but it's a very, very different way of ending the Royal Rumble. It was just... I can only recall the Rumble ending similar to this way once before, but they restarted the match. So, yeah. This was very different. Also, I looked it up while we were finishing the Rumble. Bastion Booger... It was actually meant for him not to come out, and they said that he got food poisoning, which falls in line with the fact that he eats all the time as part of the character and everything. But apparently, the real reason is they wanted to create drama to lead you to believe Bret Hart wasn't going to make it to the Rumble.
So they just pretty much screwed Bastion Booger so they could make it seem like Bret Hart.
Yes.
So... Well, I mean, did we really need Bastion Booger in there? So
exactly. So that it was a situation that happened because of they wanted to create drama for Bret Hart. That's the only reason nobody came out.
You almost got to feel bad for Bastion Booger.
Almost. I mean, he could have won the Rumble, would have went on to main event of WrestleMania, maybe had a completely different trajectory in his career. Who knows?
Probably not.
Well, who would have eliminated him? I'm not touching him. You touching him? You willing to do what it would take to throw him over the top rope?
Fair enough.
He would have won. Guaranteed. That's why they couldn't put him in there. They knew he would have won. Bastion Booger would have been the greatest Royal Rumble winner and WWF champion of all time. I can't even keep a straight face. Let's move on to our next segment.
Favorite match of the night.
Okay, so best match of the night. I actually have two with the same score, but I'm going to have to give it to the Quebecers versus the Hart Brothers, mainly because I thought the match was really good. Yeah, the ending kind of was, but the way the story played out benefited the way, you know, the way the referee was doing his thing was kind of odd, kind of took you out of it. But outside of that, this match was fantastic and was the best match of the night. Bam Bam versus Tatanka was a nice surprise, but this one told a bigger story with a little bit more drama, so I'm just going to go ahead and give it to that.
Yeah, the story of this Royal Rumble is stories. It's just, there was a lot of stories, less wrestling. I'm with you. Quebecers versus the Hearts definitely was the best match of the night. I agree wholeheartedly. It had a very interesting story. It actually had a very good reason for Owen Hart to be pissed off. It's definitely the match of the night.
Okay.
Worst match of the night.
Okay, so worst match of the night. There really wasn't that horrible of a match on this show. These matches were all pretty solid. But I believe the IRS versus Razor Ramon match, I gave it a 3. It just happened to be the worst, in my opinion, of the night.
Here's the thing. I think I gotta stick with the IRS versus Razor Ramon match, but if it wasn't because I kind of liked the way this ended, I was about to put the Royal Rumble as my worst match of the night.
I don't think that's allowed.
We said that we couldn't make it the best match of the night. We said we can, if it was bad enough, we can make it the worst match of the night.
So you think the Royal Rumble was the worst match of the night?
No, because that IRS versus Razor Ramon was pretty bad.
Was it, though? It wasn't that bad.
Well, do you think it's worse than the Royal Rumble?
I don't know. This was kind of a snooze fest Royal Rumble.
I don't think
this Royal Rumble was one of the better, which is sad because I thought some of the matches on the card was pretty good. So the fact that the Royal Rumble wasn't all that great is kind of a little disappointing.
Yeah, it was just a lackluster, disappointing rumble.
It just wasn't a lot of exciting spots. But the way it ended with some drama.
I liked the controversy. It was interesting.
Yeah. So what are you sticking to then, the IRS?
I think I'm going to stick with IRS versus Razor Ramon. I think that's probably the worst one.
Okay.
Royal Rumble rankings.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and rank these. I don't know. I thought the matches were pretty good. The Rumble was kind of, it wasn't great, wasn't horrible. It did have a controversial ending, which kind of changed my opinion of it a little bit. But I went ahead and I kept number 6 at 1, number 5 at 2. I'm going to slide this down to number three. So I'm going to put this as my number three Rumble. So number three is four, number four is five, number two is six, and number one is down in the seventh spot.
It's kind of tough because this Rumble was disappointing. There's no way, there's no getting around it. It's a disappointing Rumble. But the storylines for the actual matches kind of keep it at in the mid zone. So I think I kind of agree with you. I think I'm going to go five is still the best, six is second, and I think I'm going to put seven at three. And then I have three, four, two, and one. So I think I'm going to put this right below six because as disappointing as the Rumble was, it had an interesting end. And the storylines storylines, even the Rumble had a good storyline to the end of it. You know, it wasn't like storyline from a feud that's going on, but it was a storyline of what happens at the end. So this whole Rumble is all about stories.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's go ahead and plug the pluggables.
Well, first off, real quick, I have the stats for the Rumble. And there's not much. Lex Luger wins the Rumble at entrant number 23, which that is our first 23 entrant to win. And Lex and Diesel kind of tie at 7-ish. Because with the controversial eliminating each other, technically that gives Lex Luger seven?
No, that's still six because they were co-winners, so Bret Hart was never eliminated.
You know what? You're right. So Diesel has the most at seven in this one, which ties him overall with Hulk Hogan and Yokozuna. And there was nobody took the longest Rumble in the ring.
So it's still held by Rick Martel.
Nope.
Isn't that who you said?
No, 93 Rumble, Bob Backlund beat it.
Oh, did he?
1 hour, 1 minute, and 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Bob Backlund has it with over an hour in the Rumble.
Wow.
Yeah, Rick Martel got beat quite a bit. So Bob Backlund has the longest entrant. There's been two winners at 27, Big John Studd and Yokozuna. And Diesel ties Hulk Hogan and Yokozuna for the most eliminations in a single Royal Rumble match. Cool. All right. You can follow me on Dragon Blazer Productions on Facebook, the Instagram, YouTube. And you can find me on Twitter at Dragon Blazer Pro, and once again, give us those 5 stars. Anywhere you can rate us, 5 stars.
Okay, you can find the Rage and Blaze Show on Facebook, at the Rage and Blaze Show on Instagram, and at Ricky Rayberg on Twitter. Okay, so this has been the Rage and Blaze Show. I'm Rage.
And I'm Blaze.
And good night from Rage's Pit.
And here is your winners, and still podcast tag team champions of the world, the Rage and Blaze Show. Thank you for listening.